Good morning. It's a pleasure to see each of you here this morning. We got a pretty good number of folks here in our building, and so we're always appreciative of that. We appreciate you coming and hearing God's word and worshiping with us this morning. You know, when a person is been baptized, that is when a person has accepted God's terms of acceptance, God's terms of salvation. We talked about that last time, last Lord's Day morning. When a person decides to become a Christian, he's on a lifelong journey to be pleasing unto the Lord all the days of his life until he is called away from this earth, until he passes from this earth on into the next life. Thereby, God wants us to be different. He wants us to change the way that we live and the way that we think about things. One of the things that I want to visit with you about this morning is that God expects us to be light. You know, if there's light, then there's going to be darkness. And that darkness represents many, many things. So if we just write the word darkness up here, in the Bible, in the New Testament, it means death. It means sin. It means ignorance of what God is all about. It means on the wrong path. It means you're headed toward hell. And when we meet that day of judgment, then we are going to be separated to those on to the left side so that we will be cast into hell. But on the other hand, life means just the opposite of all of these things. We have life. We have no sin. We are knowledgeable of God. We are on the right path. And that means that we're going to heaven. In order to be in darkness, one has to follow the devil. To be in light, one has to follow Jesus. And so right off the bat, we can tell you that we're going to need a decision for what's going to happen for the rest of your life. Might I turn your attention to 1 John, please, chapter 1. 1 John, chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1. What was from the beginning? What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made known or manifested to us, that is, brought to light. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that your joy, our joy, may be made complete. Now, over in Ephesians chapter 5, please, Ephesians the 5th chapter, the Apostle Paul writes this. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. And further on down, we talk about verse 7 and verse 8. It says, do not be partakers with those who are in the darkness. Then in verse 8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So once upon a time, you were indeed following Satan. You were in the darkness of the world. And unless you've accepted God's terms of salvation, you are still, my friend, walking in darkness. You are being led by the prince of the power of this world, the god of this world, that is the devil himself. Now, you may not know and recognize, you may not give readily cognizance of the fact that you are following the devil, but if you're not accepting of Jesus Christ, if you're not following his will, my friend, you are walking the devil's path. And what does the devil want you to do? He wants you to go home with him. And where is the devil's home? Well, you know as well as I do. devil's final home is hell, a place that's described as a burning lake of fire. And nobody wants that. Nobody in their right mind would say, yeah, you know, I think I'd like to be burned. So I think I'm just going to go ahead and live my sinful life. And then when judgment comes, I get to go with the devil and just enter into that lake of fire. Isn't that exciting? And we would say, fellow, you need to be in an institution somewhere. And so on the other hand, anybody would want to say, yes, I absolutely want to go to heaven. I want to be with Jesus Christ. I want to see God the Father. I want to know the Holy Spirit. I want to see all of those myriads of angels. I want to be with the other saints who are worshiping God and praising God and giving songs unto God. I want to live my life at home with God and with Jesus. Now, that person is making the right kind of decision. So in order that we walk in the light, look at this verse again, please, verse 8. You were once upon a time darkness, but now that you've accepted God's terms of salvation, you are light in the Lord. Now, I want you to get that because you, it says, are light, which means that you shine. You are not dark, but you are a light that is in the dark world. The world is dark. And I don't need to go on to a whole bunch of list of sins. We're going to talk about Galatians 5, verse 19 here this morning. But I don't need to go into all the sins of the world. All I got to do is look around. And you can see that the world is an incredibly dark, hurtful, harmful place. And so we don't want to be in that world. We want to be in the light that Jesus Christ is. But being in that light, that means that people are going to notice you. They're going to notice the words and the way that you speak. They're going to notice the praise that you give Jesus Christ. They're going to see you in restaurants and various places around town that you are praying to God. They're going to see by your actions and the way that you live your life and how you comport yourself that you are a Christian and one who follows God. And as we go to our verse this morning, Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 15, it says, just as Paul says, you are the light of the world, the light. So I got to tell you, young folks, when you're at school, your friends are going to look to you and they're going to see. Now, he proclaims to be a Christian. He said that he was baptized. She said that she was baptized. You understand what I'm saying? You're at school. You've claimed that you are a Christian and that you attend services. You go to worship. And your friends then, they're in darkness because they haven't yet come to the light. And we hope that they will by your good influence. They're going to take a look at you and see how you're doing things. Now, I don't want to put a whole lot of pressure on you. People do that to kids lots of times. They put lots of pressure on them. But still, it is a fact that if you're a young person and you've been baptized for the remission of sins, you are going to be a light, the light. How many kids attend your school? How many kids are in attendance to your school? Let's see here. In my high school, it seems like we had, was it 4,000, I think, maybe? We had 4,000 kids in our high school? I don't know. But anyway, and in schools today around this area, several hundred, 1,000 maybe in your school. And all of those kids are going to notice you. They're going to notice you in the lunch line. They're going to notice you in the cafeteria. They're going to notice you on the playground. They're going to notice you in school and in class. And all the point that I'm just simply trying to make is this. People are going to see Jesus Christ in you. At least I hope that they do. And if they don't, my friend, young friend, you're going to need to change your life. And by the same token, for the adults that go to work, people know that you've claimed to be a Christian, that you worship God every Lord's Day, every Sunday, and you are where you're supposed to be. And yet, what is your life like on the job site? Are you being a Christian in reality, or are you being somebody who's living in darkness? You're going to be the light that Jesus says. You are the light of the entire world. You get that? We're not only talking about the job site. We're not only talking about school. The entire world would see you and understand you. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket. Now, I've always thought that was a very interesting thing. My baskets, I've always dealt with a bushel basket, and so, you know, those things are likely to catch fire. You set a lamp under there, you put a basket, it's going to catch fire. But the thing is, you don't want to hide your light. the people cannot come to salvation if your light is hidden. Suppose you had a water stand. You were selling water on the edge of the desert. And people coming out of the desert, what are they doing? Yeah, give me some of that water. I want some of that water. I don't care what the price is, just give me some of that water. By the same token, friends, you know, if you're going to be the light of the world, it's like you are sitting there with the water of life, and that people would naturally want to come to you and ask you about salvation. They don't put it under a basket, but they do put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. You live through hurricanes. You've lived through electrical outages. You've lived without lights. You know what it's like to be in darkness. So we don't like that. We want light. And we have candles. We have flashlights and whatnot to bring about that light in our life. It's imperative that we understand that we are going to have to change our life from darkness to light. Are you ready to do that? It's required of you. If you're going to claim to be a Christian, God expects you to be light. You're going to have to change your life to righteousness. Now, let's go over to Galatians 5, please. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. Galatians 5 and verse 19. Now, the deeds of the flesh are pretty evident. Just like the deeds of light are pretty evident, deeds of darkness are pretty evident as well. You can see these round about. People can choose to be sexually immoral, but they don't have to be. People can choose to be impure in their thinking, but they don't have to be. People can be sensual in their life, but they don't have to be. They can engage in idolatry, and the things of the world, my friend, are our idols, but you don't have to be idolatrous. Now, sorcery is a very interesting word because that's where we get our word pharmacology from, pharmacist, you know, that word, when you go to the pharmacist for your meds. It is someone who dispenses drugs in an illegal way. What about that? What about that for a definition? Has that been happening in our country lately? How many of you have tried fentanyl, right? Nobody here, because why? That's a killer sort of thing. We don't want to get engaged and involved in that sort of thing. So we don't want sorcery around us. Now look, I want you to, in your mind, put a little left parenthesis in front of the word enmity. And I want you then to put a right parenthesis after the word envying, you got that? Left parenthesis in front of enmity, right parenthesis after the word envy. Why? Because these are interrelational kinds of things. These are sins of the heart out towards someone else. Do you have enemies in this life? And do you have your part in being an enemy? You see, that's enmity, and that's a sin. Do you cause strife in your life? Or do you feel strife in your life because perhaps of the sins of others? That's a sin that is of the flesh. Jealousy. Are you upset and angry because somebody got something and you didn't? Do you ever experience outbursts of anger? Do you ever yell at your mate? Do you ever yell at your children? Do you ever yell at your workmate? Do you ever yell at your friends at school once again? Are you somebody who just blows up and just creates havoc wherever it is that you are with these kinds of things? What about disputes? Are you somebody who just likes a good old-fashioned argument? Do you like to complain? Do you like to start arguments and things? What about dissensions? A dissenter is somebody who says, you guys go ahead. I don't want any part of that. Whatever you guys want to follow the doctrine, you know, you Bible guys, you go ahead and do that. I'm just going to stand over here. I'm going to follow maybe Peter or Paul or somebody else. You guys go ahead with whatever it is that you're doing. You see, that's dissensions, and it breaks the church. Factions. Factions are sects. Factions are groups of people who say, this is what we're doing, this is what you're doing, and this is what you're doing. And in some way, you might even consider that some sort of cliques. You heard about cliques in churches. those group of people are over there, those group of people are over there, and they don't want you. They don't want you particularly from this group over to that group. That's not the deal. You know, you got a group. You go back over there where you belong. Factions within the congregation, that is something that is incredibly super harmful. Envying, which is a form of jealousy. All right, so did you notice this? The deeds of the flesh. You got immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, and then all those interrelational, interpersonal kinds of things. But then we go back to the world as it is, drunkenness. There's a tremendous amount of information in the scriptures, both Old and New Testament, about alcohol. There's about carousing, a wild party, essentially. That is a sin. And it says, in things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have already told you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, let me ask you this question. For those of you who are following the deeds of the flesh, are you in darkness or are you in light? And you know the answer to that. You know, if we were to play a game and we had two different lists, you know, like we have here. Let's see here. I want to move this death stuff. I want to get that out of the way. And I want to bring life in. See if we had a little marker, you know, we could do that. We could play like we have a TV show, reality show on TV or something. That's the deal. You want to get rid of the dark and you want to get in the light of the world. God expects you to change. God expects you to be something different than what you were before. Now, you're probably still there at Galatians 5, verse 19, but now I want you to go down to verse 22, please. Verse 22. Now, which would you rather have? Once again, here's the decision. Here's a choice that you can make. Would you rather have love or sorcery? Would you rather have peace or would you rather have strife? Would you rather have love or would you rather have envying and jealousy and outbursts of wrath? Would you rather have peace or patience rather than outbursts of anger? Would you rather have kindness or would you rather have disputes? Would you rather have goodness or would you rather have dissensions? Would you want gentleness in place of drunkenness? Would you want faithfulness in place of idolatry? Would you want gentleness or self-control in place of one of the other deeds of the flesh? Now, as you look at that, if you've got a right-thinking brain, you would probably say, yeah, I want love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. Yeah, I want all those things. Self-control, yeah, you bet. I'm all about that. Do I want to live my life every day in some sort of yelling and screaming match? Do I want to live my life every day where somebody is just berating me for the way that I am and for the things that I do? Who doesn't make mistakes? Man, everybody makes mistakes. And yet some people are just getting beaten to the ground for whatever mistake you might make. So, but you get this. You know, you live this life every day. What is it that you really want? And you've got a choice, my friends. You can live in light or you can live in the dark. What does God require of you? God requires you to live in light. Why does he do that? Because he is holy. The other reason is he loves you and he knows what's best for you. So you want to live as to how God would want you to live. Then again, you're going to have to change your life from ungodliness to godliness. Take a look at Titus, please. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Titus 2, 11 and 12. The grace of God. What about the grace of God? The grace of God has appeared, and it brings salvation. That means that God's grace, God's offer of salvation, is open to everyone on the planet. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And what else does it do? It teaches. It instructs. What does it do? What does it teach? It tells us that to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. Ungodliness, worldly desires,
None of those.
Now, what does the word ungodly mean? That's an ungodly person. We say that sometimes. That means that that person is not following what God wants done in terms of personal worship, personal Christianity, discipleship, belonging to Jesus Christ. When we say that that person is ungodly, they are not living, obviously we can say this, the godly life. They're not living a life that God would want you to live. That means still that you're living in darkness. Even though you've repented of your sins, you said, you've confessed Jesus Christ, you've been baptized for the remission of your sins to wash your sins away, but you're still living in darkness. That won't take it. That won't do it. God says you've got to change your life. Now, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us that we are to deny ungodliness and worldliness, but to live these three things. Number one, we are to live sensibly. Sensibly? Did I spell that right? Sensibly. Number two, that we are to live righteously. And number three, that we are to live godly. All right, so that word sensibly is kind of sort of strange in New American Standard. That doesn't particularly sound like a Bible word. Well, sensibly, what is sensibly? In some sense of the word, it is the concept of moderation. I'm not going to dress weirdly. I'm not going to be underdressed. I'm not going to be gaudily dressed. I'm going to partake of the world in a moderate sense. There are things that I need in the world, but I don't have to love the things of the world. I can get by without many of the things in the world, as a matter of fact. To live sensibly is to go to work every day, but also to trust in God for your providence. We can just go on and on and on with this concept of sensibly. Soberly, not necessarily drunk, but soberly. That is, you've got your mind engaged. Your brain is active, and you're thinking about the way that God would want you to live. You're trying to say, no, that's not what God wants for me. This is what God wants for me, and I'll come over here to this camp. I'll be over here, and I'll be doing these things for God. All right, so that's the concept of sensibly, but then righteously. What is this righteously? Now I get this. Righteous is indeed a Bible word. So I'm trying to get a picture of righteous. What is that about? Well, let's see. There's right, and then there's wrong. There's darkness, and then there's light. And so we want the light. We want to live in the fruit of the Spirit, not in the deeds of the flesh. We want to live in a way that God would want us to live, doing the things that God wants us to do. But now listen, you got to do them in the way that God wants them done. It's not just enough to say, this is a good thing, God would want me to do a good thing, and thereby that allows me to do just about anything. No, that's not the case. The silence of the Scripture is valid. When God says, that excludes everything else. So, when we live in a righteous way, we are living the way that God would want us to live. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. You know, all those kinds of things. Fruit of the Spirit. But it also means that when we come to worship, just like we are worshiping this morning, that the practices of the New Testament church are the exact practices of what we are doing today. The only way to be pleasing to God is to do what the first century church did. How do I know that? Why do I make that statement? Because it's recorded in the Bible. And when the New Testament church came together to sing songs, that's what we do. Sing songs. When they came together to give, that's what we do. We give. When they came together to hear a portion of God's word, that's what we're doing. When they came together to remember the Lord's Supper, or remember the Lord, that's what we are doing. That's what we have done this morning. So all of these things, doing godly things in godly ways, is a righteous way to live. Once again, I got to drive the point home, friends. What if I'm not worshiping correctly according to what God wants? Where are you? Are you over here or over there? What if I'm worshiping on my own? I'm over here, over there. Read the last half of Colossians chapter 2. Talks about will worship, W-I-L-L worship. That means I'm making up religion as I go along. It's my religion. This is what I want to do. Will religion, will worship. All right. And so then we are also to live godly in the present age. Here's the third point, godly. Now, that's really not any different than living righteous. When we live godly, I'm going to use a Bible word. I'm going to use an old religious word. So here we go. When we live godly, we are being pious. Get that word? Pious. It means our religion is real to us. And if our religion is real to us, then we're going to be practitioners of the worship and the way of life that God would want us to live. On the other side of all of this is this one thing. Now, anybody can take any of the words of a sermon or in the Bible and say, oh, pshaw. That's just what that says. I don't have to do that. Yeah, that's right. You don't have to do this at all. I hope that you can see that living in light is much better than living in darkness. And I hope that you would choose that. But listen, if you're not living in life, and you're living in darkness, what's that called? Sin. We talked about this in Bible class. Those who know to do good and do not do it, that's sin. Missing the glory of God, that's sin. Transgressing God's law, that's sin. It's really, really super simple, though. It comes down to this. If you're not living the way that God wants you to live, that's sin. And the deal about sin is this, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death. And that means eternal separation from God. I don't want to be eternally separated from God. I don't want to miss all of these things. I want to get on that narrow path with its obstacles, and I want to go to heaven, and I want to be with Jesus. I'm sure you do too. But there are people that kind of take this stuff lightly. But you can't afford to do that. It's just as important as being baptized. To live a righteous life is just as important as confession or repenting or having faith. You've got to live the way that God would want you to live. Otherwise, you'll end up in hell. Are you in the light this morning? Are you living the way that God would want you?